In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Come to Māori to our Kiribati listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and joining me for our 200th episode, my Cook Island Koi Tinidau Arona. Do we sing happy birthday here?
Sure, I know. Yeah, you sing happy birthday. Go, okay. Go.
Happy birthday. 200, nah, my bro.
200. Happy 200th birthday, mate. It's,
and a shout out to all the other co-hosts we've had as well.
Yep, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to be here, have this platform. And I just want to say a big thank you to all our guests that we've had on our show as well. You are the reason why we're here, and to be able to give you this platform to, you know, share your story across the Pacific. So what a day, what an episode. Very blessed to be here on Nijan Footy. And today, for our 200th episode, we've got a packed show. Now, we've got Pacific Champs kicking off this weekend. My Cook Island family, brothers and sisters, are playing over in Papua New Guinea.
I believe you've got some goss for us around that. Is it, are we leaking that for the Cook Islands? Or
Stay tuned.
Okay, stay beautiful. Breaking news out of PNG for the Cook Island men's team, yeah. Maybe.
And then that's for the bowl. So the Fiji Pati and the PNG Orchids will be playing the Cook Island teams. And then in the Cup, we'll be heading over to New Zealand, where the New Zealand Kiwis and Kiwi Ferns will be taking on the Fetu and Toa Samoa. So,
what a matchup.
Huge games this weekend. We've got some rugby union news as well. We've got Sala Tongatuki joining us before she heads into the Jillaroos camp to represent Australia. So we'll get her thoughts on the women's Pacific Championships, and then let's chat a bit about R360
is not going away, but it seems like everyone's jumping at a few shadows because we haven't even seen any teams or anything like that. But holy, there's a big statement from the boss man, Peter Verlandis, and the NRL clubs around if you do go to.
Before we get started, though, episode 200, when you think back over the 200 episodes, what's been one of your favourite moments?
Favourite moments is, I think, just when we had to do our pilot episode and we had no idea what we were doing. We had the two bosses in the other room there.
And behind the glass watching us.
And we didn't even know what to do. We started talking about Jonah Lomu rugby on the PlayStation, just chatting back and forth. And we came out and they said, sweet, you start next week. I was like, whoa, was that it? So
yeah, no, that was
good. That's been my highlight.
Just, what's that, about 2.5 years ago now?
It'd be about that, yeah.
One of my favorite moments were remember when we had the food segments?
Oh, yes.
When we used to
bring
in food.
That although with honey you brought in was fantastic.
So yeah, let's try and think about
how
we can bring that back.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah.
Oh, I forgot my gift for you for 200.
Oh, sure. Shock. That's a shock, mate. But again, happy 200, and thank you to everyone who's listened to us so far.
Well, everyone, this is Kevin Angama from the Fiji Bati, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Now, no surprise here. No surprise. We are going to start off with rugby league. It is a hot topic at the moment, and mouth watering, not lip watering, like what I said the other week for these upcoming test matches. Man, how good are these games going to be?
Yeah, let's start with the men's. Now we've got Sala Tongatuki shortly. She'll cover the girls, but the men's. I'm going to start with our game in Port Moresby. It will kick off at 3 p.m. where we will see the Fiji Pati take on the Cook Island Atu men's teams. Man, these games are always ones to look out for or look forward to because, man, just the contact. It's a very raw rugby league. Yeah, there's excitement, there's passion. You're going to see you know, boys that will wear their hearts on their sleeve this weekend. So I'll start with the Fiji Bati team. Now, when you look at their squad, you see a number of NRL stars. And the first one, number one that comes to mind, Jareem Buller. The way that he's, his form that he plays for the West Tigers, I think he's going to add a lot of spark to that team. Now, you partner him with their with his wingers, so your back three, Sonia Turuva, his teammate at the West Tigers, and then our man Jethro Rinakama of, that represents the Bulldogs. We had him on our show only a week ago, but this is would be his first game for Fiji Bati, but the big back three, I think they bring a lot of speed, a lot of skill. Look out for them coming out of their own back ends. Their halves. Now, I thought Kurt Donoghue might have been playing hooker, but they've got him at six with Brendan Wakeham. Kurt played for the Dolphins, had a huge year this year for the Dolphins. And Brendan Wakeham, he's at the Manly Sea Eagles. Then we go to their four-pack, led by Tui Kamikamitha. He's just come off the back of the grand final performance. He will lead their team going forward. But my player to watch in this team is the back rower, Kitione Galtonga. He plays for the Parramatta Eels, but he started to find some real good form before he got injured towards the back end of the year. And I thought he was one of their standout players and led them, you know, had some real big moments this year, similar to Ali Katoa for the Storm. Kitione is that Ali Katoa for Parramatta Eels.
Wonder what's there. Yeah, fair enough. I think I really want to see Caleb Navale be unleashed there. Like, we've talked about him a few times. I haven't seen him play too much, but I think in this Fiji Bati team, I'm really excited to see what he brings. But from a preparation point of view, the coaching staff of Johnny Sutton and Jared Hain and Wise in there as well as head coach, like, how much of an influence? And you even say Michael Jennings can be part of that coaching staff because he's almost the same age as those coaches. But how much of an influence is someone like Hainsey and Johnny Sutton in there for a guy like Jareem Buller, young Jethro, Turuva, like to be able to, you know, really hone in on their craft and get the job done?
Yeah, I think there's two reasons why those men are in camp and Wise brought them on as coaching staff, because one, I know Jared Hain did, but they, throughout their careers, probably didn't have a strong connection to the Fiji Bati team. But now, Wise giving them opportunity, it gives them that connection piece to the Fiji Bati. But then he knows that it's going to play a big purpose with the younger players. Guys like Jareem Buller, guys like Sonia Turuva, Jethro Rinakama. Now, we heard Jethro during his interview when he was his camp last year in Fiji, when he got to room with Michael Jennings.
Yep.
With Jenko. So he having that experience, and then you just seen that year that he had this year, you could only imagine that some of the habits that he picked up off Michael Jennings and those senior players on how they behaved and how they handled themselves in camp, that he would have taken something away from that and it played a role in his season. So, yeah, I think that will make a big impact. Now, I think when you look at this team, you think their strength is speed. You know, they've got some fast players. They've got players that have leg speed. And I think the ruck speed will determine this game. So if they can win that ruck speed, then that equals territory, so that equals, you know, attacking the other try line, the Cook Islands try line. Now, you think last year when they played the Cook Islands in Suva, Jenko scored, was it four tries? Three or four tries?
Yeah, there was a few there.
But they weren't long-distance tries. They weren't breakaway tries. Those were ones where they were attacking the Cook Island try line. So Cook Islands have to be disciplined and try to win that ruck speed, but it's hard when you've got a team with these fast players. So
3 o'clock kickoff. You're talking about ruck speed in Port Moresby.
Yep.
How does the weather and the conditions play a part in keeping that ruck speed?
Yeah, look, it's one where Cook Islands will have to try to manage and be dominant in that middle, which is a good segue to the Cookies team. So we'll speak about that shortly. But the Cook Island Ochu, the outside backs, I think they have speed, they have footwork, and they've got players that probably aren't as acknowledged or recognised because they're not, other than KL Iro, they don't play in the NRL. Now, but what they do have is two boys that come over from Toulouse in France. They played in the second division, so championship in England, in the England competition. And they actually won for Toulouse. They won that competition. And these two boys played a big role in their success. And they've played for the Cook Islands before. Their names are Paul Olberg and Ruben Rennie. Both short, stocky players, but got a lot of speed and power. Similar to KL Edo as well. And when you look at this back five, they don't have those big, you know, the big Xavier Coates or the big Daniel Tupou. They're all that KL Edo size. Speed, power. So you'll watch out for them coming in at their back five. You go to their forward pack, a very experienced forward pack for the Cook Islands comparing to the rest of their team. You've got Makahise Makatoa, Tapai Moeroa. You know, those boys will have a big job to handle. They'll have to take care of guys like Tuika Mikamitha and Caleb Navale, Kitione Kautonga. They'll have to do a job on them to be able to be successful. And then you add Brandon Piakura, who's just come off the back of winning the premiership. So I think he's going
to
bring...
Did you mention on Monday that he got fined? For, as in, so he had to sing a song? So yeah, was that Monday you mentioned that?
Yeah, look, when you think of the Broncos players, they've just won the premiership. Now they have to go into camp. And I know Brendan, you know, having to go over to Port Moresby, he's probably coming off the biggest high. And he's wanted to continue
that high.
And
yes.
Maybe he slept in. And maybe that happened to myself and Dylan Napa after the 2013 Roosters Grand Final. We might have been late to our first training session as well because we're still on that high. And, you know, Brendan, it's happened before, but he had to sing a song in front of the Cook Island boys with the glasses, with the sunnies on.
So I love that. But
for being late to the first
session. But he'll be ready to go, year T. Like, he'll be ready to go.
Yep. He says, so both his... parents are Cook Island. He's full-blooded Cook Island like myself, and it's a different feeling when you're representing your whole family on both sides. So he'll be ready to go. But my player to look out for, Mason Teague. They've got him in at hooker. He played at the Dolphins, and then he went to the Knights this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets maybe pushed to the halves because...
Why? Are we getting breaking news here?
Now... I don't know if this has been released, and I don't know if the Fiji team are listening or even Carl Michael Hunt, at the Cook Island head coach, if he's listening, but I've heard some whispers.
Remember, we're prime time in PNG when we go to air, and they are in PNG.
I've heard some whispers that the old bull, Brad Takarangi, had a bit of an injury.
A bit of ice on the hammy.
Bit of an injury, so yeah, maybe a bit dehydrated. In the hot sun, and yeah, I don't think he'll be playing this game. But
that's a huge out. It's a huge call.
That's a massive loss. I know he'll be hurt, and I feel sorry for him.
We don't know for sure, but it could be the case.
Yeah, if you see Mason Teague playing in a different position, but he's my player to watch here. but yeah, as I mentioned, when you look at Fiji's ruck speed, the pack will have to dominate this game for the Cookies. If the pack can dominate, and the Cookies have always been successful when they've dominated the ruck. And the way they've dominated the ruck is through just being fierce, strong contacts, winning the ruck, line speed, doing all the hard work in the middle. If they can get that done, they've got the outside backs to get them on the front foot, and they've got some skillful players and like guys like Isan Masters who can turn that territory into points. But discipline will be the big one. You know, who drops the ball the most, who gives away the most penalties, who invites them into their own territory. But yeah, I reckon if the Cook Islands can hold that first 20, 30 minutes and really put some pressure on the Fiji Bati, there could be a chance. But big game to look forward to.
Big game. And then are we doing a bit of a prediction now, or do you want to wait till...
We'll wait till our knockout to Bing Kong.
Okay, we'll wait till then. But let's move over to the other big game, this clash. Man, what a lineup. Tor Samoa versus the New Zealand team, the Kiwis. Man, this is a hell of a matchup, especially when you think of the big boppers that are in the middle.
Yep, this will be kicked off on Sunday, 3 p.m. Papua New Guinea time. So if you're in PNG on Sunday, 3 p.m., this game will be played in Auckland. And remember, you can hear that on ABC Radio Australia. But a huge game. When you look at the team list, so I was going to go... let's go. I was going to go, let's start with the Kiwis. Let's start with the Tor Samoa like I did with Fiji and Cook Islands. But when I named the Kiwis four pack and I just looked over to the other team list and I was like, nah, let's go the matchups. So
yeah,
the Kiwis, the Bash Brothers, that's the biggest thing that that caught my eyes. The Bash Brothers are reunited.
Back together.
James Fisher-Harris and Moses Leota, the represented the Kiwis. And then they have a lock to back them up, Joseph Taupine. Joseph Taupine from the Canberra Raiders. You look at those three, yeah? You think, damn, that's going to be a hard pack to beat. Then you just look over to the other team list. Now you've got Josh Papali'i, Taupine's teammate at the Raiders. You've got Junior Bolo playing at lock from the Parramatta Eels. Then you've got Payne Huss, the best prop in rugby league in the world right now. Just coming off the back of winning the NRL Premiership, you've got those three up against the other three. Which one do you think? I'm shaking my head here thinking,
who's going to, when you keep talking about ruck speed and when you keep talking about winning your front.
Dominance.
I don't know who's got the upper hand here because that is one of the best matchups. And I know I'm forward thinking a little bit too much for when the Tonga game does happen and you add Adam Fanua Blake and Jason Thamalolo in those matchups. Like, they're some of the biggest matchups in the game's history.
It's one of the ones I've seen that you just can't separate, and they both bring. They're just the most dominant players in rugby league and for their clubs.
Do you know what I think as well? Like, this is going to even bring the best out of Moses Leota even more because he knows he's coming up against other Samoans. And as much as I know he's proud Samoan, he's representing the Kiwis, but that brings the best out of you thinking, I've got to prove more of a point.
I have to step up, yep.
Because I've got to go up against the two other best player front rowers in the comp, and I know my family will be making sure, hey.
Yeah.
You better get over them. Don't take a backward step.
And then you look at their fullbacks. This one's an interesting one because they both play for the same team. Charles Nicol-Klokstad for the New Zealand Kiwis. And Roger Toivasa-Sheck for the Tor Samoa. Having Roger as a fullback for your international team, and his teammate is the club fullback at the Warriors, this is an interesting one. It's like, who wins the battle there? Because both of them are unreal, unbelievable for their club Warriors, but now they're representing their nations.
You know what I forgot as well? Like, Roger Toivasa-Sheck, he's played for the All Blacks as well. Played for the Kiwis, he's won grand finals.
He's won grand finals for the Roosters.
And now he's lining up at the back end of his career and still got a lot to give for Tor Samoa. They're playing in New Zealand as well. I just can't. The only way I see this going the Kiwis' way, if Samoa don't get their preparation right, where they're.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's the big one. You know, how do you harness that energy throughout the week where it's not too emotional?
And too. There has to be a right balance as well with cultural engagement. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be, what's the word, when the results matter.
It does matter.
Whether they win or lose, that's the thing that counts.
Yeah.
Like, you can have the best preparation. You can do all the fan days. You can do all the prep culturally right.
And it looks good for the socials and for the families and that. But at the end of the day, with that team, the expectation
matters.
Yeah, is high, and that performance matters to get a win.
Yeah. And then when I look at both teams, I'd have to say the Tor Samoa, each individual, would have to slightly edge the Kiwis for me, only because the NRL form that they've had this year.
I agree.
Yeah, you look at Dean Mariner, you look at Payne Huss, both just won competitions. Junior Bolo's led. He's had a big season for the Eels and helped them, come back from the bottom of the ladder over the last couple of years. Josh Papali'i's had a big year for the Raiders. Jerome Luai has just led the Tigers this year from not getting the wooden spoon. And Blaise Talangi.
Yeah.
To see his rise from the start of his year at the Panthers and then just them making top four, he played a big role in that as well.
So when you look at the performance, and you've said that individually they probably edge him a little bit,
they've also got Terrell May on the bench as well.
That's very true as well. And we didn't even mention Brian Toto, as well. And the meters he eats up when he brings his team out of trouble. But again, you mentioned Blaze. I think, yeah, his back half of the season, unbelievable. I think it's been underrated, like how he started and getting used to playing outside Cleary to then getting in his flow and taking him to a semi-final. So I think he's going to play a big part. My key one is Junior Polo. Him playing 13, what does that do? Like, he's normally a middle forward. And when I think of some of the 13s in the NRL, they ball play, they play both sides of the ruck, play a little bit different. How does that change the dynamic of the team, him being in at lock or 13?
Yeah, it's different. The international games are different because they have less time to prepare. So they have less reps at training and they can't do, they don't have the time to go and practice plays on plays on plays. And a lot of those players, when you look at Yowie, when you look at those ball playing blocks, they have a pivotal role to be able to, a role to slot into that spine.
Yeah, they link up. There's an extra link man, isn't it?
But that takes a lot of practice to do, and they just don't have the time because they go into camp the week before. So with the international game, it's all about, these teams, winning the ruck, dominating the ruck. And when you've got three strong, solid middles who just run hard, carry hard, and then also be able to defend and dominate that ruck like Junior Polo, they don't really have to worry about ball playing because you've got guys like Jerome Lua and Blaze Talanga.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's similar on the other side when you've got Joseph Tupp in there playing at lock. Same thing. And then you've got Kieran Foran and Dylan Brown to be able to create opportunities on the back of that dominance. So that's where I think the game will be won. Discipline, whoever makes the most errors, whoever gives away the most penalties, but also whoever's running hard and winning that ruck control. I know it sounds like
But you don't want to overcomplicate
advice, it's the same advice
that's
for every
exactly
game.
Exactly how you win the game.
At the end of the day, if you run hard,
easier said than done.
You're winning the ruck and you usually win those 50-50 calls from the ref. You're then getting territory, which then should provide points. So I'm expecting a lot of passion again, a lot of contact. I'm going to look forward to the haka from the Kiwis. The Sivatau from the Tor Samoa. Sivatau will be there next week.
Ooh, that's going to...
But, man, it's going to be... this is the game for me this weekend.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Seeing Payne Haas from running out of the tunnel...
With a blue jersey.
With a blue jersey on to singing the anthem to the Sivatau to his first carry. I just think that is something that I'm going to remember forever, and I'm sure he will as well. But say... We'll come up with in the knockout tipping comp who we're going to go with. But really looking forward to these pack champs, these games that are going to be happening over the next few weeks. But the other things that have caught my eye is all the beautiful things happening off field. We're seeing Tonga over in the motherland. Man, have you seen the socials at the moment, all the social clips that are coming out of all of the camps?
Yeah, it's cool to see the boys connecting to the motherland in Tonga. I know Christian Wolf, he mentioned that he wanted that campaign. So they don't play till next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend. So they've gone to Tonga for a camp to connect. And he said this is all about connection for the team to connect, and they do everything together. This is what their coach Christian Wolf said. But with all the social media stuff, it's given us the public an access to what goes on in these camps.
Absolutely.
We got to see, it was Felice, Moiaki, Fotuaika, and so those two, they done a penalty in front of the team in the gym because Christian Wolf said, look, I know
on the rower, is that the one we had to go on the rower?
We come here, we said we'll do everything together, and apparently a couple of the boys went to the coffee shop on their own, and then so he made them do a penalty. But to have that social media access where we get to see that, we also seen, I thought it was a special moment, Eli Katoa sitting down at his primary school and they're doing the school song and he's doing the same thing. But just seeing that, the passion and the connection, and you see it means a lot to these players to be able to go home and have these moments with their community.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's such a different preparation that you would ever get compared to if some of those boys were in Origin camp where there's no way that your star player Isaiah Katoa is on the back of a truck with his sign on the front of a truck driving through the village just throwing out kit.
Eating kina.
Kina. So like that's so different. And for all the diehard rugby league fans that are still probably not understanding why players are choosing Tonga or Samoa or the Cook Islands, PNG or whatever, like it is so based around family.
Yeah, family, culture, connection. The Cook Islands, from my own experience and then also seeing them recently in their camp, they do like the cultural classes, or they have the they practice their performance. So they're doing a Cook Island dance. So I got to watch a bit of a few of the boys practicing their Cook Island dance, and they're doing their item. You got the K.O. Iro at the front, just like you can see he's really ingrained and wanting to lead from the front, the performances, and then a few of the Shire boys, and you can see some of the half-caste boys like still trying to get the movements,
yeah.
But they're all buying into learning this cultural dance. It's connecting them to the Cook Island culture. But what it also does is when they go to these schools and the communities in Papua New Guinea and, you know, do these school visits, they actually get up in front of all the kids and they perform that item.
I've seen the school kids when the girls went.
Yeah.
And then the boys, you know, they're passing on your cultural practices to the PNG kids. And they got the
Uda.
Uda, they're shaking the legs.
Yep.
Mate, they picked it up so easy, the young PNG boys.
But you never see that in the NRL.
Nah.
But we just had like Brendan Piokura, who just won the NRL Premiership, and he's there, you know, doing a Cook Island dance in front of school kids. Another cool thing we get to see is the other nations. I've noticed Samoa in New Zealand in the rain at a fan day. You know how many Samoans are in New Zealand. Brian To'o is still out there in the rain signing signatures,
taking well photos
after the event had finished. And you just see that connection to the community. So love seeing these stories, love seeing the players buying into that connection piece, buying into what these international games mean. So I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come.
One last one before we move on. Did you see the locals, the aunties and that, stop the Tongan bus?
Yeah.
Did you see that with the table?
With the watermelons.
So the Tongan bus is going through the street, and then these Tongan aunties have just come on, move their table, try to get their watermelons on there and give it to the police officers, give it to the players. And that's what it's about, the craziness. It just
the funny thing was they didn't get in trouble. The police officer just come out the car, picked up the table and moved it to the side.
But they've taken off the police officers without understanding that they're supposed to be escorting the bus. They still stopped the bus because they're gone and the aunties were in front of the bus. But, hey, special scenes coming out of the Pac Champs, and I'm looking forward to the next, month of footy. Can't wait.
Remember, you can hear every Pac Champs game starting this weekend, Saturday, October the 18th, live on ABC Radio Australia. Let's move over to rugby union. Sammy, what do you got for us?
Rugby union. Hey, so again, another little ad break. Man, I'm sick of saying that. It's like I'm putting my code down a little bit. But look, we're going to start with, we've got some R360 chat that we will get to. But I just wanted to highlight a big name player playing for Fiji. He's just been named in the Flying Fijian side. His name is Peter Gus Soakula. 2-test All Black. He's played for the Chiefs. He's been over in France playing for Clermont for the last 3 years. So he's done his standout period. And now he has been named in Mick Burns' Flying Fijian squad at number 8. So that's a big inclusion. And I'm loving the look of Fiji's team going over to the Northern Hemisphere. They got some big matches. On the 9th of November, they play against England. On the 16th of November, they play against France. And then on the 22nd of November, they play against Spain. So
there's a few more weeks away.
So we'll bring you more on that, especially with the Wallabies squads and then Tonga squad, Samoa squad, when they go to their World Cup qualifier a bit later in the coming weeks. But I just wanted to highlight big Peter Gus because he is the man on that. But R360 team.
Yes, talk to me.
R360, it's not going away. And
it's the talking point.
It is a talking point, but no one's seen anything about it. Like, in a sense that there's no website, there's still no teams. It feels like we're chasing a few ghosts here. But obviously, even though the chairman, Peter Valandy, says it's like a competition coming out of like a cornflakes box or something like that.
Hey, they've caught his attention.
They've got his attention. He's put out a hefty ban if anyone signs or enters into
negotiation. Yeah, it was a huge statement that he said. That.
What did he say?
Any NRL player who negotiates, signs, or enters into a letter of intent, playing contract, or any other form of agreement, whether verbal or written, blah, 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 pretty much says,
Don't go or you're banned.
You'll be sanctioned for 10 years. So you'd be, you'll be banned for 10 years if you are to agree to the R360 competition.
Oh, man.
And also the agents.
The agents.
The players' agents, if they have been, if they've also been caught negotiating with or doing these deals, they'll
come
get a
10-year ban. That can't be a. What about for like coaches or physios? Like, is this a blanket rule? Is it like, surely there's got to be something there around that can't happen in the sense that, like, if Payne Haas did decide to go and the competition flops, you're telling me there's no team that would be trying to get his signature?
Well, that's the thing. It's this, something like this has never happened before in our game, in the NRL anyway, in the current NRL game. It's never happened. It's obviously caught the eyes of our game, of Peter Vlandis, and he's probably put this out as a bit of a threat. But I don't know, you know, how this stands up in court as well. You know, whether it actually gets to that point and then it goes to, you know, the legal courts. You know, does it stand? Does it have ground? I don't think, or it doesn't have precedent, so it hasn't happened before, so we don't know. But it'd be interesting to see how that lands, because, you know, that's kind of stopping someone from employment.
Earning a living. So what do you think the difference is between R360 and, say, like a Val Holmes or a Jared Hayne when they went to NFL, or like a Sonny Bill and Lotte Tungiri that went to play, and all the other cross-coders that would play Union and League? Or
I don't even think that was thought about before the statement was released, mate.
I'm just thinking about all those people that have gone and been welcomed back. And if you take it one step further, even some of the players that have done some things off-field and they've been given second and third chances and welcomed back into the game, it just really doesn't sit well with me, the fact that you're stopping someone from earning a living. They're not doing anything wrong. They're trying to provide for their family. I just think it's...
Yeah, I also thought there was that little sneaky clause at the end there saying the Australia Rugby League Commission retains sole and absolute discretion to review or lift a ban imposed under this provision only in exceptionally extenuating circumstances.
Wow, there's a lot of words in there I can't spell.
Yeah, that was hard to read. And then to be determined on a case-by-case basis.
Oh, so there you go. So it's not a blanket rule.
So it means if someone like Payne Huss tried to go down this route and then they wanted to bring him back, then that would come down to the Australian Rugby League Commission. So, it's a bit of a...
there's so many grey areas here.
A very weird one with four... I don't think... Yeah, a bit of a threat, but does it hold grounds? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's where it doesn't sit with me. Look, he's got every right, and both codes have every right to sort of protect their game and make sure that people stay in their game. But
is it a restraint of employment?
Absolutely. In my eyes, it is. I just think when you're stopping someone from trying to go and use their skill and their talent, doesn't matter where it is, like, especially in professional sport, you have a small window. You have a small window, and then to use fear and back plays into a corner with ultimatums, I just think you're putting players offside straight away. Because I've got no doubt, like, if it is real and the money is real, and you've say for instance it is $5 million, and it's there ready to go, I reckon if you've backed someone into a corner, they're going to take it. So. That's how I see it.
Just quickly, I remember when this first came up and you heard whispers of R360, and then we slowly started to talk about it and we're like, I bet you there's more to come. We're here, and I still think there's still plenty more to come.
Plenty more to come.
Stay tuned. We'll try and keep everyone up to date with R360 and all the things that come with it in rugby union and rugby league. But let's head over to Sala Tongatuki and hear from our good friend.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
We are here and blessed with her presence once again on Nijin Footy Fridays, our NRLW superstar for the Tigers. And then she is about to line up for the Jillaroos in the upcoming Pac Champs. Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you, T. Sammy.
You'll be going into camp shortly. What have you done in the last you know, since you've played your last game, to just stay on top of your conditioning so you're ready to go when you represent the Gillaroos?
I wouldn't say I've stayed on top of nothing.
Lucky your coaches don't listen in.
Yeah. Oh, Jess, please don't. No. No, but honestly, I think 2 weeks, as soon as I finished up, I just had a really good break. I did no training, nothing. Yeah, I just switched off from footy. And then I had 3 weeks left till, obviously, if I was going to get the call up. So I just started getting into some training, and it wasn't anything structured. I just did road runs. Did a road run for like a week when I was away.
How long were these road runs?
My partner was like telling me, you just do an hour. So just do an hour, just run for just an hour straight.
The lazy hour.
I think it was very lazy.
What was your pace?
Honestly, it was like around 7 minutes something.
Oh, did you run backwards?
Were you walking? Was that walking for an hour?
Okay, I was.
Seven-minute pace?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, so
he does a 5-minute 15.
Joking.
Well, I don't have long legs like you, lads. So. No, it was, yeah. Look, it was tough for me because I was like, I'm normally like that short, sharp, like, stint kind of player. Whereas my partner was just trying to help build endurance, and he was like, the only way to do it is you just got to go for longer. It doesn't matter what your pace is and that. If you can just keep ticking the legs and that, just do it. And I'm like, righto. So I did that. And then by the end of the week, I got better. You didn't let me finish, Sammy.
Sorry.
It went from 7 to 6.
Yeah.
And that was good. That was good for me.
Are you peaking at the right time? I'll give it to you. You don't want to peak too early. You're peaking for Monday's camp, so you're all good.
I hope so. Thanks, boys. Thanks to the yard gym, though. Gosh.
Well, we're also seeing, or speaking of footy, we got to see the Prime Minister's 13s PNG taking on Australia in the women's game last week. What were your thoughts on that game? Did you manage to watch the Australia team win this one 50-0? It was.
Yeah, I got bits and bits of the game. I didn't like get to watch the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure they didn't quite have like all their players in playing, which was interesting to see. And given the scoreline, like I think I know the girls could have been capable of putting more points, but I think, yeah, there's so much positives to take out for the PNG girls. Like, I know I've spoken to some of them, and they're ready to go against Cook Islands this weekend, given that they've got some inclusion, like big players back in the squad. So, yeah, and it was interesting seeing a couple of the girls, like, you know, shuffled around. They'll only get better from that game, and I reckon you can expect a really great game from them against Cook Islands. So, yeah, obviously, Prime Minister's, the girls, there's so many, like, class players across that team. So, yeah, obviously the girls played really well. But, yeah, I'm really proud of Orchids. I know they can do better, and they will. So, yeah.
Elsie Up was playing. I felt like she played a bit of a different role. She was, like, having some good metres out on the edge there, even though she was playing in the middle. How much of an influence is she going to be, and how important is she to this PNG Orchids side coming up against the Cooks?
Oh, massive. Obviously, she's had a great season with Para, and she has a lot of load on her, given what she's done for them in the season. So I know if the coach can use her right, probably, like, you know what, I wouldn't even mind putting Elsie on at back row. if the space and everything's on the edge where she's running to, I don't see why not just put her there with a great half that can really inject her into the game. But, yeah. I don't know. Like, she's hard to handle. And I know, like, it's really hard to tackle her down. Like, you'd have to, like, get 5 people on her. So, like I said, I think they should utilize her really well. I think she's captain as well.
Yeah.
Because it was interesting. They didn't really quite name who their captains were. But, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Elsie.
Well, she doesn't need a C next to her name anyway to lead, but she'll be out there
doing
her thing.
That's what I think, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Well, so, that's a good segue into the first game where Papua New Guinea Orchids will be taking on the Cook Islands Moana this weekend in Port Moresby. This will be played before the men's game. Now, when you look at both teams, who are the key players for each team?
Oh, to be honest, they're both fullbacks. They're the most interesting matchups for me, which is Kiana Takarairangi and Fleur Ginn. these two actually played together for Para this season. Like, Fleur was in her centres and Kiana was her winger. So, and they really worked well as a combo. So it'd be nice to see them up against each other and taking charge at the back. And then I think for me, a player to watch out for the Cook Islands is, but also not just one player, but the halves pairing of Lydia and Shantae. They'll be one both to watch. They really had strong seasons for their clubs, and I think they'll bring great direction and tempo to the Cook Island Moanas. And then, yeah, I think with the middle, like we touched on, Elsie Albert, she'll be up against Lavinia Katai. That's going to be a huge battle because I've watched a couple of Lavinia's game, and obviously there's not much media coverage on her, but she impressed me for the Warriors. I felt like the Warriors like needed someone to stand up, and she did that for them, and it's what probably helped them close out some of the games they won. And yeah, I'm excited to see Jasmine Tupou-Richmond at lock against Jessica Reevesy. They're both experienced, like Harvey Norman and NRW players. I find, you know, Jasmine's come off a really great season with the South Sydney Rabbitohs for Harvey Norman. She was named Player of the Year, and that says a lot about her work ethic and what she's done and playing at the lock role. So, yeah, it'll be nice for her to obviously be the go-forward for the Cook Islands. That's who I believe will do that. And S.A. Barnu coming off the bench with Gloria Culper. I think if they can continue on the work that LC will kick off for the middles, that'll be something good for the PNGs.
I think the Orchids are favourites in this one, but I have a feeling the Moana are ready to go, and
put
up a big performance. Now, I've heard some big reports. Now, my mum is the footy manager.
Don't tell me Kiana's out.
No,
the brother.
Kiana's not out.
Okay, so we're going to bet on her.
What she did say was that the new coach, Ronald Griffiths, Warriors NRLW coach, he's the coach of the Cook Island Moanas.
Impressive.
And he's been very impressive for the team, and just the way that he's been able to maybe show a little bit of the on-field structure and, you know, structure to training, but added a lot of value to this women's team. So who are you predicting for this weekend?
Oh, honestly, I feel like I'll just come down to, like, the composure and the organisation, like, of their games. Like, you got the Cook Island halves that have that NRW experience, which is very steady for them. And especially when things get a bit chaotic, it's good to have that calmness. But I feel like PNG's energy and their second phase plays can break games wide for them if they stay disciplined. So it really comes down to the possession of the ball, and obviously limiting errors would be good for them. But yeah, it's interesting that you brought up Ronald Griffith. What he's done, like, in the last couple of years is honestly amazing. He's obviously got back-to-back premierships for the Knights for NRW, but then he went on to help the Warriors NRW come back into the competition, which has been years. And obviously the Warriors got a couple of wins under their belt, given just the experience. Like, obviously they had a couple of new faces in a game, but like you said, like you've touched on, he's got that wealth of knowledge on the field too. And it's how you transfer that knowledge to the players, especially girls. So, and it showed through the Warriors this year. They're going to come back big and better next year with the players that they've just re-signed. A couple of Broncos Premiership players there, which is exciting for them, being back at home as well, and a lot of reasons to play for that Wahina jersey. And another thing with Ronald Griffith is not only that he's just come in for the Cook Islands women's camp, a week ago when they had the Koori Knockouts, he was actually the coach for the Yowies, the Indigenous Knockouts, and they took it out. He's a really good coach. Like, to win a knockout, it's really hard. You got a lot of NRL players, and, you know, in a female space, the NRW girls come back and give back to community. But there is a fair few NRL boys that come back and give back. Yeah. And he did that with the Yowies, which only had, I think, one or two NRL players.
What you said there too before, like hearing that, I don't know him personally, but knowing that he's done Koori Knockout, knowing that he's won NRLW premierships, he's gone to the Warriors, where he had to convert a lot of rugby players and get them to understand rugby league. And now
he's also attracted
Melehufanga.
Melehufanga.
He must be very good at connecting with players.
Gail Broaden. So,
Must be very good at that. That's changed my mind here.
I'm happy he's there with the Cook Islands. So I'm just going to guess that you're picking Cook Islands.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited. You know what? They've got a lot of reasons to play. Like, there's also.
I remember a lot of our listeners are from PNG as well. So one of us have to go for the Orchids. And it comes with me, I'm Cook Island.
Well, there's three of us, I'll go guys. Orchids. So
you got to go for Jewelaroos. I'll go for the Orchids. You go for the Cooks.
Well, this weekend in the next game, Salah, we got the New Zealand Kiwi Ferns taking on the Fetu Samoa. And I bet your eyes would be watching this one because it's going to be a fun game to watch. And I think in the women's game, this could be a huge rivalry. So what are your thoughts when you look at both teams on this in this game?
Yeah, look, like Kiwi Ferns taking on Fetu Samoa at Kauri Media Stadium. Yeah, fun fact though for this one for me is this is actually the first time these two nations have met since 2020 when the Ferns won that game 28-8. So, but back then Samoa were really limited under Fetu. They were working on a tight budget and because of COVID. So they could only pick players from New Zealand and I think they had a couple of players from Samoa that were already in New Zealand. So they didn't have to, they didn't have the chance to bring any Australian based players. And another cool one is like Leanne Tufunga, who's in the Kiwi Ferns squad, who's now in, actually played for Samoa in that match. So like fast forward to now, things are very different. Like the depth and the talent in this Fetu squad is very strong. They've got a lot of NRW experience. They've got three players coming off a Broncos premiership and a few exciting debutants, who bring real energy into the side. I honestly think this game could be a lot closer than people expect. So, like, yeah, for the Kiwi Ferns, there's also exciting faces coming in for them as well, like four debutants, Taisha, Ikenasio, Shakira Baker, Patricia Maliapur. Yeah, so, like, obviously you got the rookie coming in, Ivana Lautiti. Be exciting for her too. Well, she comes off the bench and you got Shalom Sawaso as well, who comes off the bench. And what a great matchup. Both rookies had a great season this year in NRW. And, yeah, one obviously both nominees for the Dally M Rookie of the Year. And Shalom obviously took that out. But, yeah, I'm excited. The Kiwi Ferns backline's very stacked. You got Mele Hufanga and you got Abigail Roach. And then even like though Leanne's not featuring this game, she's been in great form as well. So it just speaks volumes of their depth in their back line.
I've spoke about earlier with the men's both games, the ruck control will be where the game will be won. So, you know, who runs the hardest gets the quicker play the ball, but also defensively, who wins that ruck, who can get up, get the line speed, and control the ruck speed. Where would the game be won in the girls' games, especially this one where the Kiwi Ferns take on Fetu Samoa?
For me, this game, it was probably just be like composure under pressure. You got both teams who have plenty of strike across the park, but it's a side that, like you said, that can stay patient through the grind and complete their sets that'll come out on top for me. So it's so underrated. Just saying, you know, complete your sets, but you don't realize how much when you give ball possession to the opposition that you're actually already like you're going out of your game. Your game plan's out the window, I should say.
Yep.
So, yeah, if they can just really be patient through the grind, I think you'll see a lot of success come out of that.
Beautiful. And I'm guessing you are tipping the Fetu Samoa.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Fetu Samoa.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Well, you'll be watching it closely because you'll be coming up against them next week. And before we let you go, obviously there's a bit of an inside knowledge there. You understand what the jersey means to the players, what it's about. Obviously the Jewelaroos will be in camp. What will be preparation like? What would be key in preparation against Fetu Samoa when you come up against a side that are going to be emotionally charged, ready to go, especially because it's going to be a packed out stadium there?
Oh, I think for me it will just my nieces will be my like ultimate why. I touched on this at my Tigers presentation, like and they were like trying to congratulate me on like 40 games milestone thing, and I was like all those games like if honestly I didn't realize like it was really dedicated to my sister, so it will give me a lot of strength when I just think of my sister and her babies. I know my sister was the one that really encouraged me to go, you know, to the Gillaroos jersey when I was sort of stuck in two minds and who to represent. But every time she came to all my Gillaroo games, she wore a Samoan flag around her to remind me that I have the Samoan, like it runs through my blood and veins. So I don't forget that. And I know there'll be a right time for me to put on that blue jersey if it is given and earned. But yeah, it will be an emotional one when the anthem's sung. But like I said, I'll probably, to get me through, all I need to do is just FaceTime my nieces and nephew and that, just before we head over to the stadium, and that'll be enough for me, to be able to go to war.
Very well
ready
said.
Ready to go to war.
I love it. Now just remember, keep it simple, run hard, tackle hard. Yes, you've got your niece, you've got your nephew, you've got your family behind you. You've also got your community, and you've got...
You got us
here at Nation 40. Back in your old day. Let's go.
Hey, 200 episode. 200 episode. 200 episode today, Sulla. So, good
well
things.
Done,
so thank you. No, thank well you done, for
Sam.
Being a part of the show as well. And, we appreciate you. Enjoy camp. Have fun. Be
Thank
present
you.
In the moment and get after it next week.
Shot
and we'll
coach.
Be there supporting
Shot
you.
Coach, get him in.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, each Friday we finished our show with the knockout tipping competition. Now, we've got our games this weekend. Some big games, but firstly, Sammy's winning 41-40.
Yes, I can't believe
he's winning by one point. I don't know how he's done this. But
I've been on fire with my try scorers.
By the end of the year, the loser has to buy the winner a jersey of their choice. So I need to catch up.
I might put my jersey back in my closet now that I was going to give to you and hold that for myself.
Oh, well, then I'll pull out my old jersey that I want to get rid of and give it to you.
Give me a St. Clair's Comet one.
So we've got the pack champs kicking off. And I was thinking, why don't we go all four games?
Yeah, done. It'd be silly not to.
So we'll start with the Fiji Butty versus Cook Island Atu, the men's game.
Are we going head-to-head, do you reckon? Especially with the news of Tackers, potentially.
Well,
that's a big day. That's a spine player.
I'll take Cook Island's with a 12.5 start.
I don't mind that. I'll take the Butty on that.
So 12.5 start, Cook Island's. You've got Fiji.
Yeah, okay,
let's
sweet.
Go to the women's Cook Island Wana versus the PNG Orchids. I'm happy. I obviously have to go Cook Islands.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to go head-to-head with this one.
Yeah, let's go head-to-head.
Well, the Orchids are favourites.
Are they really? Do you know what does it for me, though? I like Shantae, the halfback. I just think her kicking game is going to be instrumental.
Well, I like the new coach.
Coach as well, yes. That's sold me as well. But the PNG home crowd, the conditions, it's going to favour the Orchids. All right, let's go head-to-head. I'm going PNG Orchids.
Well, you're going to try and ask for a start.
Yeah, I was a little bit. Yeah, why not? Push the envelope a little bit. Why
no
not?
No chance. Let's go to the New Zealand game on Sunday.
Oh, this is a tough one.
The New Zealand
head-to-head?
Kiwis versus the Toa Samoa.
What are you thinking? Head-to-head?
Ooh. Yeah, obviously, let's go head-to-head.
Yeah, head-to-head.
Because it's very even. Who do you think?
Gut feeling?
I'll let you pick first.
Gut feeling? I think the Kiwis are going to get it done.
I'm the same.
I just think...
When you look at Terrell Mate...
I know that, but I just think it's like... This is like... It feels like World Cup all over again.
How many Broncos players have they got there? Dean Mariner, Payne Haas. You're going Kiwi... Okay, I'll go.
Because I just think it's like...
You know what? I actually think when you look at the names, I'm going Toa Samoa.
Okay, I'll go Kiwis.
Head to head?
Side. Yep, head to head.
And then final one, the Kiwi Ferns versus the Fitu Samoa. This will be a good one.
Do you know my favourite players, I think, for Samoa is Destiny Brill.
Oh, Shalom Sawoso for me.
Yeah, that's true, coming off the bench. But I just like how she gets out of hooker and just knows how to score a try. She's going to score too, Destiny Brill. Can I get a head start if I went Fettel? Or do you reckon it's head-to-head?
Or can I get a head start if I go to Samoa?
No, because that's more of a head-to-head. I'm going to go...
Oh, you can go Fetu and I'll give you a...
not a big one.
3.5 head start.
Give me one try.
Yeah, that's...
Four. Like, that's 4.5.
4.5 start. 4.5 start.
For
and I'll go
Fetu
the Kiwis.
Yep. All right, done. Perfect.
Four games, 4 points up for grabs, please, everyone. If I win, I'm laughing. but that's us done for Nesian Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Again, happy 200th episode, Sammy. It's been an absolute honour. And here's to the next 200, brother.
Next 200, brother. We'll be there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on Monday.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.